Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can check me out Monday through Friday. Just download the free Odyssey app anywhere you get your apps at. It's free, AUDACY. So the Washington Commanders are on their summer sabbatical right now, getting a chance to rest and relax and recharge before they head to training camp. Rookies are set to report July 18th. Veterans in Ashburn, July 22nd. That's when most NFL teams will officially begin their 2025 training camp ahead of the start of the regular season. And Michael Phillips, my co-host in Richmond, my co-worker there, came up with a good topic that I wanted to bring with you guys today because I've been thinking about it nonstop since he mentioned it, right? So we're about 3 weeks away from training camp, right? July 18th, rookies. Team will be there, but July 22nd, about 3.5 weeks away. What do you think will be the top five storylines at training camp? What will be the top five storylines at training camp? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Here are my five top five storylines at training camp. Number five for me, this coaching staff. I have been a fan of them since they got hired. I know some people on this station here, we're big Ben Johnson fans, all in for Ben Johnson. If you listen to this show, you knew I was all in on Dan Quinn because I believed that's how you become relevant again in the NFL. It's so hard to be good at quarterback and offensively, but I believe Dan Quinn was the right guy to make our defense good. And I still feel that way with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. And so for me at number five, it is, what does a coaching staff look like that's more confident? They came in last year and they were excited, but they took over a 4-13 team, and they didn't really think they were going to be that good. I want to see what that looks like. You know, you're coming in here after winning 12 games, after getting to the conference championship game. Is that Cliff Kingsbury more confidence in his quarterback to take more deep shots, to make more explosive plays happen on first down defensively? Is that Joe Witt Jr. more blitzes? That's what I want to see. Is he have more confidence in his secondary? Does he have more confidence in his linebacker crew, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu? Those cross-dog blitzes were so good last year. What does a more confident coaching staff look like? That's one of my top five storylines at training camp. Number four, it's not Jaden Daniels. It's his weapons. It's the three tight ends, and maybe more, of Ben Sennett, who needs to have a strong sophomore year. It's John Bates, who just got paid, right? And it's Zach Ertz, who we hope can still find the fountain of youth once again. I mean, he played like a top 10 tight end last season, and what he did at the end of the year and into the postseason in the red zone was just spectacular. That's exactly what we need from him once again this year. I think you will see less catches. You will see less yards because he's getting up there in age. It's another year, and I think you're going to want more opportunity for like a guy like Ben Sennett. But can he get as many touchdowns? Can he be as big of a red zone threat? That's huge right there. And then it's just the rest of the Jaden weapons. All of the new wide receivers that we've got here, right? De'Ami Brown is gone. In comes Jalen Lane. We need Luke McCaffrey to take a step forward. Will we get anything from a Michael Gallup? Will we get anything from a KJ Osborne? Is there another wide receiver that will pop that was maybe undrafted that's going to come in here? And then the big question, what kind of a season will you get from Deebo Samuel? Because that's the one that I am so excited for. And you heard from Jaden Daniels at FanFest. He wants to simply throw a screen pass and let Deebo do all the work, taking it 80 yards to the house. That was the biggest move of the offseason. And I think that was maybe one of the biggest moves in the entire NFL. I think that was bigger than like the Steelers trading for DK Metcalf. It was bigger than any other move we've seen this offseason, in my mind, because you got a Deebo Samuel that was being clowned on social media. You know he's heard that. It's a Deebo Samuel that's on a contract year, and it's a Deebo Samuel that I think wants to prove that he can be a guy that can lead his team to the Super Bowl and win the whole thing. Because he got damn close with the 49ers, and then, you know, they had this terrible season, and it's just McCaffrey wasn't there. Deebo wasn't himself. Trent Williams wasn't himself. Brock Purdy wasn't very good. And that team changed completely in just 1 year. And so Debo got out of there and got to a team that can be a contender. And I know, I think he wants to be that piece to take us over the hump. He wants to be that piece that, all right, here's why we're better than the Eagles now. Because our 1-2 is better than your 1-2 when Debo Samuel's at his best. And as good as A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are, I think Terry McLaurin and Debo at his best are better than them. So my number four top five storylines at training camp is the weapons for Jayden Daniels, tight ends and wide receivers. Three, it's the improved offensive line. And are we going to see that right away? How is it going to be a transition for Brandon Coleman from left tackle to guard? How will Connerly go from left tackle to right tackle? What's it going to be like for Laremy Tunsil learning this offense and being a big-ass blindside protection for Jayden Daniels to keep him healthy? I think you have to have this renewed offensive line as a top five storyline. Number two, it's the defense and that secondary. I've been telling my listeners the guy under the most pressure in training camp, I think, is going to be Trey Amos. All eyes on Amos because of how much of a failure Emmanuel Forbes was and how much of a success story Mikey Sanders still was. Now you got this other guy that we drafted high that you're excited for. All eyes on Trey Amos. And that's also going to be pressure on Marshawn Lattimore to perform. There's so much riding on this secondary for the Commanders this season. We need Will Harris to be as good or better than Jeremy Chinn. We need Quan Martin to take a step forward. The secondary is going to be crucial. That's going to be one of my top five storylines at number two. And number one, it's Jayden Daniels. It's, does he look bigger? Does he look stronger? Does he look faster? What's that deep ball look like? How are they adjusting the offense to fit his strengths? How much confidence has he grown into having at the line of scrimmage in terms of changing the plays, audibling? I want to see more of Jayden throwing the ball away, living to fight another down. I want to see more of Jayden scrambling and running on passing plays rather than these designed runs called by Cliff Kingsbury. I don't love those. I like when you have guys going downfield and he decides to take off when he feels it's right. So my top five storylines to the coaching staff, what does it look like with more confidence? You were just taking over a 4-13 team. Now you're taking, you know, now you're taking a next step forward in a team that's a legit contender. The weapons at training camp will it look and feel like Jayden has Super Bowl weapons beside him, with Terry hopefully being there, with Debo hopefully being completely healthy. Three, the offensive line, the improvements you've made this offseason. Two, the secondary defensively. And number one, Jayden Daniels. Your thoughts on the top five storylines of training camp? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan.
News coming in from the NBA. Here's AWOD.
Sources. Sham Sharni of ESPN reporting. Breaking news. The Chicago Bulls are trading Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Isaac Okoro. Sources tell ESPN the Chicago Bulls trading point guard Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Zo headed to the Cavs. Lonzo Ball has struggled with injuries, but that is a massive trade in the NBA. The Chicago Bulls sending Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who finished as the one seed in the Eastern Conference, but were upset in the NBA playoffs. Lonzo Ball coming to Cleveland for Isaac Okoro, sources tell Sham Sharnia of ESPN. That's breaking news on the Fan. So I said earlier in the day, I thought there were going to be some trades today, tomorrow, over the next few weeks in the NBA. Not the biggest trade, but Lonzo Ball's a big name. So is LaMelo. Heck, the Ball family is a big enough name, a recognizable name. And I think what that trade signals is Cleveland realized their depth was not good enough, that Ty Jerome was not a good enough backup point guard behind Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. And look, when you're the 64-win first placed in the Eastern Conference team and you don't even get close to really making it to the conference finals, you have to mix things up a little bit here. I do really love what they've got going on down low. We've talked about how the NBA has gone to this Twin Tower style of approach to playing two 7-footers, Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren successfully for OKC. It's Evan Mobley and Jared Allen for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You kind of have that with Indiana because Siakam's so big next to Miles Turner. So I wonder if that's something Washington will look into doing, maybe Christian Vucevic alongside Alex Saar. But what's funny is, you know, I was talking with this on my about the NBA and the trades on my show on like Wednesday last week, and I said I'm expecting Jordan Poole to be traded in the next few days. He was traded that night for CJ McCollum heading to the New Orleans Pelicans here, and this is just going to be one of the craziest off seasons in the NBA. We've already seen a few crazy moves. It starts with Kevin Durant heading to Houston. You have Boston deciding that they're going to just basically take the entire roster from this season and rip it up. It's kind of crazy, but it makes sense because they're going to be without their star, Jason Tatum. You might as well get rid of everybody that's wasting space and a major contract. And so they traded away Jrue Holiday. They traded away Kristaps Porzingis, NBA champion Kristaps Porzingis. They've got a younger roster now. It's not as good of a roster, especially with Tatum out for the season. Will they move Jaylen Brown next? Will they move Derek White? I think that's more likely. I would not move Jaylen Brown if I was them. I would move Derek White. You've got Anfernee Simons you just brought in here. He's an exciting talent, but I don't know that they're going to win that many games this year. They're definitely building to then have everybody back the following year to build around their star, Jason Tatum. I did a list of who I think are going to be contenders and who are teams to keep an eye on to make trades. I almost guarantee the Miami Heat will make a trade. They're not going to be, you know, a team that sits around and just waits here. They're going to make a move. They traded Jimmy Butler last year towards the end of the deadline there, and of course he went on to Golden State, who I definitely think could make a trade. I don't think that I don't think it's likely Draymond Green stays with the Golden State Warriors. Does Minnesota decide to move on from Julius Randle, or maybe decide to move on from Rudy Gobert to get them some more power in the backcourt alongside Anthony Edwards? Because how many more years are they going to get out of veteran guard Mike Conley? Will the Clippers make a trade? Denver's GM talked about what it would take for them to trade Nikola Jokic. I don't think there's any chance that happens. But I think that there's a chance that they make a decent move here because you look at their team and you say, man, did they peaked a few years ago with that current roster. Do they have enough? Is now the time to maybe move on from a Jamal Murray or a Michael Porter Jr.? We already saw Houston make a trade. So it's a cool offseason in the NBA where you're seeing a lot of trades. I think that's going to continue. You're going to see kind of a changing of the guard here from super teams to building the right way after the success of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they built it the right way. The Pacers built their team the right way. It's not like it was always through the draft. Siakam was a trade. Halliburton was a trade. But they, you know, it's funny how it still comes back to that Paul George trade that set up Indiana that also then set up Oklahoma City. I'm just hoping for Washington will be good, and eventually we'll look back and say the Bradley Beal trade started everything for the Wizards. But it's been an exciting NBA offseason. I gave you my thoughts throughout this show today on all things Wizards. Want to get back into the Commanders, though, and I just talked about my top five storylines at training camp. I just think Jaden Daniels has to be number one. He is the biggest thing to come to D.C. since RG3. He has taken over this franchise, and I think he's got this amazing work ethic. I'm so excited to see him build off of that impressive rookie year. I don't think we're going to be talking sophomore slump at all this season. I think we're going to be talking about him replicating his rookie season. The difficult thing is that I don't know that he can get that much better than the rookie season, except for more passing yards. But, like, the accuracy, oh my goodness, the completion percentage was so good. He limited the turnovers. So I just want him to replicate what he did as a rookie, and I think he can because we're going to have an improved offensive line. So he should have more time in the pocket to look for some deep balls downfield. They should have more talent because instead of throwing the ball to Olamide, Zaccheaus, and De'Ami Brown. It could be Deebo Samuel and Noah Brown, or Deebo Samuel and maybe it's Luke McCaffrey. I was never the biggest fan of Olamide Zaccheaus. He ended up being a good piece for us this year, but it's not like I was desperate to have him back. I wanted De'Ami Brown back, but he got overpaid, and that's what happens when you show up in January in the postseason. I think my next question for you Commanders fans, and I got to give a shout-out to one of my listeners who's been tweeting me nonstop about this take. We're all talking about an improved offensive line and how that's going to help Jaden, right? And I think we all agree that Laremy Tunsil's the best left tackle we've had since Trent Williams, and that's going to help Brandon Coleman kick inside and make that transition smooth for him because he's got a guy he can trust to the left, and I think he's got a guy he can trust at center with Tyler Biadasz, and then I'm excited for Josh Connerly, and we've heard decent news about Sam Cosmi working through his injury. So the offensive line, like I've been saying, if it was a 79 in Madden last year, it might be up to an 89 or a 90. I mean, by the end of the season, it could be an elite offensive line, and it should help Jaden. But the take is, can this improved offensive line lead to Brian Robinson Jr. being a 1,000-yard running back? That would be spectacular for this offense. It would help Jaden Daniels tremendously. Does Brian Robinson have that in him? I think you can argue that with an improved offensive line, and this is by far the best offensive line he's had in his career in Washington, can he be an 1,000-yard back? Can he be an 1,000-yard back? He was 799 yards this past year. He's had, you know, the success of 700 yards three straight years. And he had that 1,000-yard year in 2023 when you consider how good he was catching the ball out of the backfield. But just in terms of handoffs, can he tote the rock 200 times for 1,000 yards this upcoming season? Can he tote the rock 220 times for 1,100 yards? Can he go over 1,000 yards with an improved offensive line? Give me your thoughts. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And if you're a Commanders fan, I wanted to let you know I am bringing back the best sports and music festival around. It's called AWOD's Football Festival. Football Fest 3 will be in Richmond at River City Roll August 16th. 2025. The Commanders are coming once again, and we had a great party last year. They sent Fred Smoot, who signed autographs and took photos. They had all this swag to give away, like these Commander Stanleys. They're like worth $40 or $50. So I'm super excited for Football Fest 3, August 16th in Richmond from 6 to 10 p.m. under the lights, Football Fest 3 prime time at River City Roll, and I will be on the stage alongside my buddy Michael Phillips. Hopefully we'll get Grant and Danny back once again. They were awesome to have, and we did our whole full football season preview show. And I wanted to go around the NFL right now because there are some really intriguing teams in my mind. For some reason, I'm getting into fights with anybody that is like questioning the Steelers' decision to go out and sign Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why I'm defending that bum, but I am, because I'm not going to sit here and let people say that the Steelers were stupid to sign Aaron Rodgers and that it's not going to work out. It's going to be a complete failure. I would argue that was the best case scenario for them. And you have DK Metcalf. I don't know how many games they're going to win. I guarantee you it's going to be 9 because Mike Tomlin never finishes below 500. It's just, it's interesting because I feel like Steelers fans are kind of split on whether or not they like this move. Some of them want Mike Tomlin fired. They don't even care who's the quarterback. They just want to move on from the head coach. But I've got a list here of 5 of the most intriguing teams in the upcoming NFL season that I'll have my eyes on following them during training camp, and Pittsburgh's at the top of my list because I really want to see if it's going to work with Aaron Rodgers, and I'm rooting for him. And I don't know why, because I've never been an Aaron Rodgers fan. And I was so sick and tired of the fact that he was put on primetime for every game, it felt like, last season. And the team sucked. But yet, I feel like I'm like forced to support Aaron Rodgers and believe it's going to work, because so many people have completely turned our back on him and they say he sucks now. He was not very good last season. He wasn't terrible, though. He still had a good touchdown to interception ratio. So they're number one on my list. Number two, it's actually inside of that same division. And I know we're excited to see like the NFC East be featured on Hard Knocks in season. Last year was the AFC North, and there were some great storylines out of Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, the Mike Tomlin, clip where he told his edge rusher, "You do this, you're going to get a sack fumble." That was so cool. Cleveland, it was Jameis Winston in the snow. Cincinnati, it was the struggles. Ravens, it was the success. And so for me, my number two team, the top five NFL teams not named Washington, I'm most intrigued by. Number two is the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, I think most people, that's a top five quarterback in Joe Burrow. And you've got a window of opportunity right now to go win. And I think your GM let you down last year. I would have fired your head coach, Zach Taylor, and brought in a new head coach here. I would have probably brought in Bill Belichick if it was me and gone all in to try to win a Super Bowl. I mean, they need to get so much better defensively, and yet they don't want to pay their best defensive player. I've got so many intriguing storylines that I could talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. What's it going to be like with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins this year under contract? Are they going to get enough from running back Chase Brown or Zach Moss? How is Shamaje Perine back on the Bengals? How is he still in the league? And what kind of performance will they get from Joe Burrow this year? Can he continue to do this 300 yards, three touchdowns, in a losing effort? Or is he going to get pissed off? I'm intrigued by the Bengals. And again, they are in one of the most difficult divisions in the NFL. Number three on my list, it's the guy that Grant Paulson had a lot of fun comparing to me, Liam Cohen. Duval! I want to see what it's going to be like with Jacksonville, with an offensive coordinator that had a ton of success last year. Now he gets his head coaching opportunity. They've got the freak of the draft in Travis Hunter, even though that's not my guy. He's intriguing. Are they going to play him on offense? Are they going to play him on defense? I've been a big fan of Travis Etienne Jr. going back to his time in college. Does he take a step forward as a running back this year? They've got Virginia Tech product Bashaul Tutin that I'll be watching alongside Tank Bigsby in that backfield. I had Brian Thomas Jr. in fantasy this year, and he was one of the best rookie wide receivers. What kind of leap does he take this year? And oh yeah, they have former Redskin Commander wide receiver De'Ami Brown on the roster. It feels like it's now or never for Trevor Lawrence, and I picked the Jags to stupidly win that division last year. I'm not going to make that same mistake again, but I am very intrigued about the first year of head coach Liam Cohen. Number four, it's my guy Caleb Williams. If you listened to this show last year, you know I loved Caleb Williams more than any quarterback that's been drafted for like 10, 15 years since Luck. Like I'm obsessed with all things Caleb Williams. Part of it's because I covered him in high school. I interviewed him in high school. I loved to watch him get an opportunity at Oklahoma. And then, of course, the Heisman Trophy season at USC. I think he can do everything on the football field. I think he had a terrible coach last year in Matt Eberflus. Now he's got a great offensive line mind in Ben Johnson. I thought that the front office did everything for him last year when they draft Rome Odunze, right? And they brought in Keenan Allen, and they have DJ Moore. Well, now it's DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, and Luther Burden. And they added Olamide Zaccheaus. I claim that Caleb Williams will be a Pro Bowl quarterback in his first 5 years, or I will never scout quarterbacks again on this show. So I am all in on Caleb Williams to have a better sophomore season than he did as a rookie. And number five, and this might surprise some people, on my list of most intriguing NFL teams this season, not named the Washington Commanders, I'm going inside the NFC East. And no, I'm not intrigued by the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. I know they're going to be good. I'd be surprised if they didn't win 13 games. I know they're going to be good. And it's not the Dallas Cowboys. I'm so out on Dak Prescott. I want him to suck so badly. I want him to get hurt again. I hate everything Dallas. And I don't think that they're going to be able to win more than 10 games with that roster that they have. But I think they can get to 10. And that's what is going to piss me off if they are actually in it when we get to the Cowboys-Commanders game week 17, I believe it is, before we play the Eagles week 18. But my fifth team here, most intriguing teams in the NFL this season, it's the New York Giants. Like, Russell Wilson was not bad with the Steelers. I felt like a lot of people wanted to clown on him with the Steelers because they didn't end the season strong. I mean, that's very true. He had a bad end of the season, right? He was not good in the final four losses of the season. Like, just not good. He almost had an interception every other game. The touchdown passes went away. The explosive plays went away. He started averaging, you know, from almost 250 yards a game to about 175, the Alex Smith numbers. And then you lose in an embarrassing fashion to your rival in the playoffs, 28-14. And, like, from that perspective, I understand why Pittsburgh didn't want Russell Wilson to return. They wanted to get better. That's why I'm intrigued by Aaron Rodgers. But Russell was good enough that some team had to take a shot on him. And it ended up being the New York Giants. And I know that they have a crazy quarterback room. I don't know if I've ever seen an NFL team before where it feels like half of America could name all four quarterbacks on their team. Russell Wilson, household name. Jameis Winston, household name. Jackson Dart's a rookie. And then Tommy DeVito right behind him. Are they going to be good? I don't think so. But Russell Wilson had a good season with the Steelers. And if they're able to run the ball, I do like Tyrone Tracy. And then Russell does his little lollipop passes. He has always been good at accurately throwing the ball deep. And they got some playmakers there. Slayton and Malik Nabers. Zach Pascal has been a solid pro as well. Like, they might surprise some people and I don't know, maybe win 8 games. But maybe that would keep Dable around as the head coach. But I'm kind of intrigued by Russell Wilson in New York. And now you have, like, star power on every team in the NFC East at the quarterback position. That's the other part about this. I think that's going to make week one more of an attractive game for people to watch, Washington against the New York Giants. And every game where Washington plays in the NFC East is going to be watch television with how many big-name quarterbacks there are in the NFC East. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Make sure you stay locked to The Fan today. We've got Super Bowl champion, the legend in the DMV, Doc Walker, taking over after me. Metal Chris running the ones and twos today. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. So I went through my top five storylines for Commanders training camp. Number one, Jaden, what's he going to look like here? I mean, that was the storyline of minicamp. Just photos of Jaden with people clicking and zooming, taking over the world with everybody on an iPhone, zooming into, oh, does Jaden look bigger? His arms look bigger. Oh, yeah, I do think his arms look bigger. Man, is he going to throw the ball deeper downfield? Anything Jaden gets clicks. It's like when RG3 was here. You name JD5, and everyone's going to be, you know, wanting to talk about him. Top five storylines, got to start with Jaden. Two, the improved defense and all eyes on the secondary and Trey Amos. Three, the offensive line. Four, the weapons for Jaden, tight ends and wide receivers. Five, the coaching staff being more confident. But I want to go back to four and combine that with number one. The new weapons for Jaden and Jaden finding the new weapons. What are we expecting from Deebo Samuel? What kind of connection is this going to be from Jaden Daniels to Deebo Samuel? I mean, I think I can confidently say Deebo Samuel will have the most accurate quarterback of his NFL career. He will have the most explosive playmaking quarterback of his NFL career. And if we take it what he's done since he entered the league in 2019 out of South Carolina, taken in the second round by the 49ers, and we take his average basically from all those seasons, I think you could expect a guy to play 14 games. That's his thing. Doesn't play every game all year. I don't think that's because he's carrying too much extra weight. I think it's because he plays violent and physical, And so he ends up getting banged up. But you should get an average of about 50 to 55 receptions. I would like him to have more catches compared to the targets. I mean, he gets almost 90 targets a year. And I don't think it's drops. I think that was just, he didn't have the best quarterbacks throwing it to him in San Francisco for all those years. And so that's what I'm excited for. And then yards, 800. But an extra 200 probably on the ground. I'm expecting Deebo Samuel to be 1,000 yards all-purpose with 5 touchdowns. That's what I'm expecting. 1,000 yards all-purpose, 5 touchdowns, play 14 games, be there when we need you, and be there in January. But I'm super excited to see this connection and this chemistry build between Deebo Samuel and Jaden Daniels. And I really think it can be something special because I think they play into each other's strengths. Like Jaden's processing. How is he so damn good at processing this young and this quick into his NFL career? A lot of people point to the VR headset, or you point to the college experience, or you point to the years that he had playing at a high level before this, like the Arizona State years, to then LSU, to then here in Washington. Maybe you give the credit to Cliff Kingsbury and his play calling that leads to quick, simple decision-making for Jaden. I mean, I think it was Logan Paulson told me last year, you look at all the plays, Cliff Kingsbury only makes Jaden throw a tough pass like twice every drive. A lot of times it's hit your number one, hit your number one, hit your number two, quick snap throw, quick snap throw. You know who's going to benefit from that kind of an offense? Deebo Samuel, who is one of the best yards after catch receivers in the National Football League. He's one of the best open space, open field players in the National Football League, and he's one of the hardest to tackle. And so that combination mixed with what Jaden has been so good at in terms of, you know, quickly processing things are why I think they're going to be a fantastic pairing. And then you add Terry McLaurin in there and an improved offensive line as well. I just think Adam Peters has done everything right. He can wash his hands and walk away from this situation of this offseason and say, I've done my part to help the offense and Jaden Daniels take a step forward. Now it's up to Cliff Kingsbury. Because I just really think Adam Peters deserves a lot of credit for the improvements they made offensively. The offensive line. You want to keep your star quarterback healthy? You bring in a star left tackle. You bring in a young right tackle. You bulk up on the interior of the offensive line by doing what the Eagles did with Mekhi Becton, a massive guard. Brandon Coleman will be now a massive guard. All right? You want to keep Jaden Daniels happy? Give him an all-pro weapon at wide receiver. I do think we need Brian Robinson to have a good season. I think we need Austin Ekeler to stay healthy. There's going to be one of these young guys has to pop in terms of Ben Sennett, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. One of those guys has to be able to play meaningful snaps in January. But this, I mean, my intern, who's just 22 years old this week, asked me, Adam, have you ever been this excited for a season? No, never in my entire life have I been this excited for a Washington Commanders season. Never. We have the focal point, the franchise quarterback. I love the head coach. Like, I didn't love Mike Shanahan. Red Lobster, got tired of watching his face get bright red on the sidelines. I hated Jim Zorn, right? I was a Jay Gruden guy, but I kind of thought he was a clown also with all the off-the-field drama. I love our head coach. I love our GM. I could talk all day about how much I think this ownership really cares about this team and wants to enhance the fan experience every year to make it better and better and better. And they want to build a state-of-the-art stadium. This is the best I've felt about my football team ever. And I'm super excited for this season. Training camp is right around the corner, just a few weeks away. These guys are going to rest, relax, and recharge, and then get ready for action. The most anticipated season probably in 30 years here after you make it to the conference championship game. What's missing still? I think an edge rusher. And I believe this front office will have somebody else in the building before September 7th when they take on the Giants. I don't know who it is. Kind of starting to think it's not going to be Trey Hendrickson. I wanted Jadeveon Clowney. There will be another edge rusher in the building before September 7th, and then that is when I can start feeling more confident about us not just making it back to the playoffs, but winning a playoff game. But there was an article going viral. Jimmy Kemsky, Philly Voice, comes up with his 10 reasons the Commanders will be a dumpster fire. Number one is regression, and I think regression will probably happen. But I'm okay with 10 wins and a playoff berth. I'm okay with 10 wins and a playoff berth. We haven't made it to the playoffs back-to-back years, right? Like, that's consistently getting into the playoffs, and then eventually I think it will lead to a Super Bowl championship. Consistently get into the playoffs, eventually we'll break through. This year is all about showing that consistency. Back-to-back playoff berths, that's my goal for the Washington Commanders. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to Ben running the ones and twos, Metal Chris, who filled in. It is the Super Bowl champion and legend in the DMV, my buddy, my pal, Rick Doc Walker, coming up next on The Fan.